It's good to be gathered together with you. About a decade ago, roughly speaking, I was in a conversation between several friends of mine and a Muslim background atheist. Now, he was quite a curious fellow. He was very interested in the world around him. He wanted to know about how people believed, and he was fairly certain that he was an atheist, and yet he was quite open to discussing various things regarding truth and religion and that sort of thing. So we were in the middle of this discussion about good works. We're trying to explain to him the Christian position on good works, and every time we'd explain what it meant or why we did good works, he would say things like, "Now, oh, so you do good works so that Jesus will love you, so that he will save you." No, that's not actually why we do good works. And so we tried to explain it a different way, and he would come up with a different twist on it, and it always ended up being, it's about salvation. Good works save you. And, of course, this makes sense in the Muslim way of thinking, because for Muslims, it is a pretty straightforward thing. When you die, you go to, you stand before God, then he judges you. If your good works are more than your bad works, then there's a pretty good chance he'll take you to paradise, although God can do almost anything, and so he's not bound by that. But that's kind of how the Muslims think. And so this guy was just not understanding the Christian perspective on good works. Well, I think we gave him a lot of clumsy answers. However, what I wish I had told him was that good works are a way of worshiping Jesus. So I'm going to kind of defend that position today, and I'm defining good works rather broadly. So my definition for good works are actions that are consistent with the nature of God. That's a pretty big category, and I think I can defend that definition, but I'm not going to attempt to do that this morning. So that's what I'm working from, and we can discuss that later if you have other questions about that. So let's look at some scriptures. We're going to open our Bibles to James, the book, second chapter of James, and I have a number of them, so if you want to turn to them, that's fine, but if you want to just listen to me read them, that's okay too. So James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. This is one of the things the New Testament says about good works. "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to him, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So faith alone cannot save a person?" I can almost hear Ali back there saying, "So you do good works in order to give life to your faith so that you can be saved." That's one twist on it. Well, this is part of what the New Testament teaches, but there are some other passages too. So let's turn to some others and get a kind of a more complete perspective. Ephesians 2 is where I'd like to go next. And I'll I'll be reading verses 8 and 10 out of Ephesians 2. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So this passage should at least get rid of the works-based salvation idea. It says it's not of works. We're not saved by works. It's a gift of God. But what I'm curious about, what I really want you to notice, is what it says about the why of good works. Why do we do good works? It says we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. So this is a creation principle. This is what we're designed to do, especially as kingdom citizens. It's natural to us to do good works. Good works are a daily liturgy of praise. It's a way we worship. Well, let's look at Romans 6, verses 9 through 14. Now here we're not going to see the words good works, but they're implied. "We know..." So this is Romans 6, and we'll start at verse 9 and read to 14. "We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. So there's a bit of a progression here that I think would be helpful to understand. And that is, first it says we are raised to life, and then it talks about presenting our members to God to be used for righteousness, that good works. So righteousness follows the death to our sinfulness and the resurrection that God gives to us. So when we present, so it's natural then, is my argument. It's natural for us to present our members to God to be used for righteousness because we have already been raised to life. And my last verse I'd like to look at is Romans 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Once again, we see this idea that good works are a liturgy, a daily liturgy of praise or of worship. The things our bodies do under the control of God are worship. Some of these things will undoubtedly seem mundane. Yet, if we have been brought from death to life, and if our actions are consistent with God's nature, then our actions are an act of worship, just as profound as a beautiful song or the most sublime poetry. And I'm talking about mundane actions. I'm talking about the things we do every day. The crying child we pick up and comfort. The kind words we say to our coworkers when they are a little bit grumpy in the mornings. The good, honest, hard days worth of work that we give to our employers. The nice slab of concrete we leave behind at the end of the day after we have poured a fresh slab of concrete. The careful work in our homework when after a day of college or high school or something like that. That's the mundane stuff I'm talking about. The nice food you prepared for your family. These are daily acts that celebrate God's nature, and they're acts of worship. And that's what good works really are. So I do hope that Ali eventually hears a good explanation of the Christian view of good works. But I also hope that he's already encountered it, lived out, even if we did a poor job of explaining it. When we surrender our bodies to do the actions that are consistent with God's nature, we engage in a daily liturgy of worship. Let's pray. Father, we want our actions today to be offered to you. We do offer them to you as a reasonable sacrifice, as the things we do because of who you are and who you made us to be. It is natural for us to live in good works. And it is deeply unnatural for us to offer our bodies to sin. And so we ask you to take away that urge. And we ask you to replace it with this knowledge that we belong to you and that you are only good. We look forward to encountering you in other ways today in this time of worship. Amen.
Thank you, Daryl. It's an encouraging thought to think that our entire life is